The information and opinions presented in this podcast are based on research done at a particular point in time. The fields of medicine, surgery, psychology, etc. are constantly evolving as new studies and movements happen. Please take into account the year of any particular episode's publication, and as new information presents itself, we will do our best to release updated episodes on the topics. Listener discretion is advised for references to medical terminology of body parts. Unless otherwise stated, no one speaking on this podcast is a medical or legal professional and cannot provide medical or legal advice. Welcome to the Trans Field Guide.
So the other thing we were going to talk about, at least for a little bit, was going to be about the fun rabbit hole of transitioning your dating life.
Yes.
Because I know we've talked about dating while trans on a different episode. Like, I've talked about that, like, a couple different times with a couple different people, but I don't think we've really delved into the experience of having to transition your dating life.
Yeah, I think we do need to talk about, like, what it's like for those of us, especially who identified as a lesbian for a long time, and, you know, we've had two coming out processes. And so dating as a lesbian is quite different than dating as a male or even a trans male. And, you know, I don't think we really talk about that transition. And again, I think that grieving process too of, okay, I had all this community and I had, you know, I knew how the dating scene worked in the lesbian community. And I knew how, I knew if I went to a lesbian bar, like, there, I could do, you know, there are certain ways I could act and behave and people would know that I was there because I identified that way too. I didn't have to say anything, you know, and now it's like, you know, how do I go about dating as a trans male and where do I find my population and where is it safe for me to be out as a trans male and trying to find, you know, somewhat of a dating life?
Yeah, because that is also a big factor of it, because you can't just, it's not just a flip of the switch of like, oh, now I'm dating in the straight scene, because you have the whole like safety concerns within there of, you know, the potentially a cis woman that you're trying to pick up that when you come out to her, she has a negative reaction to it, and that can go many different ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it's, and I also have a very different dating experience than you have anyway, because I have always identified as either bi or pan. Mm-hmm. So that also gives a whole nother, I'd say, weird layer. I'm not going to say it's necessarily a more complex layer, but it's definitely different experience, because there's the whole, you have certain groups within both the gay community and the straight community that think that bisexuals are, insert whatever negative connotation that you've heard before here.
Right. And I think even with, you know, identifying as pansexual, I think that there is a lot of negativity. It's, you know, this idea that, you know, you're greedy or, of course we could talk about all the negatives with that, but,
oh yeah,
you know, but, and that, you know, I mentioned in a previous episode that some people have used these as stepping tools to find identity and as an exploration identity before they find, you know, a different identity. And so it gives a bad rep to both, I think. And so, but, you know, knowing that there really are people who do identify as bisexual or pansexual, and that is a true identity and people truly identify that way and stay that way for the rest of their lives. And, you know, and it's part of the community. It's LGBT. I mean, it comes before the trans, like in the, you know, like, you know, so, yeah, I think it would be interesting to get more people to talk about how they identify before transition, you know, romantically or sexually and, or both. And how that's changed and how dating has changed as they've changed in transition.
Oh yeah. Especially cause there's like, you also have people whose, I'm not going to say anybody's name, but you probably know who I'm talking about because I know that they've told their story before. But like starting out identifying as lesbian and then transitioning and identifying as straight and then exploring things with the same gender and then identifying more as bi or gay. So it's sexuality is for some can be a constant journey as well as gender identity.
Right. And I think we, you know, really talking about that, you know, sexual orientation is, you know, just a journey as much as gender identity. And they're two separate concepts, you know, that.
And that does kind of fall into a very antiquated idea, but was kind of the prevalent idea decades ago that you transitioned because you were gay and you wanted to no longer be gay. And that was the only way that you could not be gay was to transition. And that was why people did it. And obviously that's incorrect. But you know, in a long ago time when, there was more misconception than anything else, that was something that a lot of people thought.
Yeah. And I think, you know, along those lines that, you know, if you were, like I mentioned, if you were, you know, a birth assigned female and you were more masculine, everyone assumed that you're a lesbian. And I know a lot of masculine presenting females who are straight as an arrow, you know, and they're just, their gender identity is a little bit more masculine. And, you know, vice versa. I've seen some really, you know, feminine males who are straight too. And, you know, they're just, and we even have a term for, you know, like they might be more metrosexual or whatever. So, even, I don't know if they use that term anymore, but, you know.
Yeah. I think it depends on what circle you're in. Cause there's the people who would still call that metrosexual. And then there's people that would call that more like gender nonconforming.
That's that particular person's identity. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, but yeah, I just think, you know, dating and transition, you know, is different. And I don't think we really talk about that transitional piece of moving from one identity to the next identity. And, you know, even if, and, you know, in some cases, people's sexual orientation doesn't change because they transition, you know, and there is a percentage of people that happens that, and how they go through that process of transition as well, you know. And dating then, like if you were dating exclusively men and then you transition and now are dating exclusively females, like, you know, dating a female and dating a male are different. There's different.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, like kind of to springboard into it would be the kind of just that experience of like initially identifying as lesbian and then transitioning to male and then having to transition how that dating scene goes. Because I know that the subtleties of courtship between dating, like trying to pick up a lesbian versus trying to pick up a cis woman, are usually a little bit different because, one, they're looking for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different social norms and standards that come along with it.
Right. And I think, you know, when I identified as a lesbian, I've always been more masculine presenting, you know, before I even knew that I was a lesbian or trans or genderqueer, was that, I always dressed like, you know, I was considered a tomboy for a long time. And then, you know, when I was supposed to, quote unquote, by society, grow out of that, I didn't. And so, you know, people assumed without even meeting me, even on the street, they assumed I was a lesbian. And so it was really easy for me to get attention from females that were also lesbian, whether they were feminine or masculine or, you know, presenting in different gender identity ways within the lesbian community. I think we got to also talk about that there's different identities within that community too, and what people are looking for and what they're attracted to as well within the community. So being masculine presenting, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, it was very easy to pick up women, especially femmes who, quote unquote, were passable in society, like they knew I was a lesbian, so they would be able to come up to me in different places, like, I mean, the grocery store or at a restaurant, or even if I was at a straight bar, I would have women talk to me that were in the community, because we all had this, I mean, there was like the look and the nod kind of thing. It was like the secret handshake without doing the handshake. And, yeah, you know, and being able to go into spaces that were considered gay, as a more of an umbrella term for the community at the time. And, you know, it was easier to pick up women or people at least flirt with or know that I was a part of the community. There wasn't a lot of work within the community to like say, I'm out, I'm supposed to be here. I didn't have to do all that. It was just known by the way that I looked and dressed and presented myself. And, you know, and being able to court someone in the ways that I would want to be courted back, you know, and so it was easy. It was, you know, things, and they knew that I was, you know, at the time I presented, you know, as a female. And so they knew how to do that back. You know, there wasn't this, and that if I was sensitive one day, like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, you're being such a wuss, or, you know, whatever word you want to say, like, you're too sensitive. There wasn't that conversation within the lesbian community, because they were sensitive too, you know, like, and women are understand, and the lesbian communities tend to be understanding of people's emotions and sensitivities. And a lot of times what happened in my dating life within the community was that we were friends first. And so it was really easy for girls to be friends with other females. And then those things would progress as into more romantic feelings as things went on. So in some cases, not in all cases, but, you know, I can almost count on almost every relationship I had when I identified as a lesbian, as they started out as good friendships at first. And, you know, and I think too, as I started changing my gender identity to more of this, you know, I identified as genderqueer, and then I dropped the gender part and just said I'm queer, because if I can't pinpoint my gender identity in societal terms, then how do I, at the time, how do I tell you what my orientation is? Because you have to know gender to know orientation. In some cases in our society, especially at that time, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't all talk about pansexuality. There wasn't talk about, you know, other forms of identity, you know. So I would just say that I was queer and female attracted. But as I started doing that, I noticed getting more, more straight women were interested in the experience of me. And it was hard because I couldn't tell whether they were wanting the experience because I was masculine in some ways, and but still feminine in other ways, that they wanted, that I was more of an experiment. And so it's very hard to figure out if this person really is interested in me and wants to date me versus, you know, I just want to see what it's like to be with a woman, but you're masculine enough that makes me comfortable because I consider myself quote unquote straight, but not really that straight if you're looking at me, but like you've just been in a space where you couldn't explore that. And I'm someone that people felt comfortable because I was so authentic in who I was. And so I think that a lot of women were comfortable in wanting to explore other things. But again, like I'm not a person, and I don't think it's wrong for people who don't do this, but I'm not a person who can have a one night stand and be someone's experiment and be okay with that. Like, so I think for me that it was hard, especially as I started to transition socially at first, was, you know, getting attention, not the attention I really wanted. Like, it was nice that women found me attractive and wanted to do things, but it was for the wrong reasons in my mind. Like, it wasn't about making an emotional and a, you know, romantic and intimate connection. It was, I just want to try this out to see what this is like. Or I would get that at, like, I'd go to conferences and things like that for my profession, and I would have women be like, oh, well, my husband isn't here, so I can have fun. And it's like, no, I'm not, like, that's not what I'm in this for. I'm not in this for your pleasure and then never talking to you again. Like, that's not what I'm about. And so Again, you know, on one hand, it was an ego boost to be like, well, like, women find me attractive and that's fun or whatever. But again, even in that time in my life, it was easier to talk to women because I wasn't seen as male and, you know, 100% male. And so, like, I felt like I was welcomed into female spaces to be able to talk, to be able to get to know people, to be able to start, you know, dating and those types of things. And, you know, for me, that what was really hard for me at the time of my transition, you know, when I started going towards medical transition, I was in a relationship before. And I was with someone who finally came out after, like, you know, in their 40s. And so, you know, me, they didn't mind. They were okay in their mind being with someone who was queer presenting, because then they still were able to be a lesbian in society. Like, I was still seen in society as, you know, female and feminine, because even when I dressed in my bow ties and, you know, ties and things like that, it was clear that I was still very feminine at the same time. And so I think, you know, as I transition, you know, lesbians typically don't want to be with trans men because they want to be seen as a lesbian. So, like, if they're with a trans man who's very, you know, that's very much masculine and is passable in society as a male, and then when they're out walking about with this person, then they're seen as a heterosexual. And that's really hard for a lot of lesbian women to wrap their head around, that you're not going to be seen as being with, you know, because I'm not a woman anymore. So, you know, you're in a straight relationship if you're with me. And I think that's very hard for a lot of for lesbians that have a lot of their identity wrapped up in their sexual orientation. And within the community, again, I'm not always welcomed in lesbian spaces anymore. Not like I'm like, oh, get away because you're trans, but it's, you know, people aren't interested in dating, it seems, you know, especially my generation, you know, lesbians aren't interested in dating a trans man, and they don't want to be with a trans man. They don't want to be with a man. And, you know, and I'm seen as a man, and which is, on one hand, is really lovely that I am seen as a male, but on the same token, it excludes me from dating. And I think what's hard for me is, or what was hard for me was, you know, this is where I learned how to date. Like, I did some dating in high school with men as more beard kind of things. And, you know, went to prom and stuff with guys. But, you know, I usually left with a female, you know, to go eat somewhere or whatever after prom. But, you know, and I had some good friends who would be my beard and go on dates and things, just, you know, as friends or whatever. But my true understanding on dating and how to date and learning dating rituals was within the lesbian community. So, you know, I think for myself, it's been very, like, after transition, difficult to, you know, navigate dating, because if you grow up dating in a way, it's hard to change how you know, your courtship rituals, for lack of a better word. You know, so I think it is about that conversation with potential people dating, especially coming from the lesbian community to the trans, you know, being seen as trans or being seen as male, is now where do you go to date? What sites do you go to? How do you tell people that you're trans? You know, and if you know, identify as straight, how do you, you know, have that conversation with someone you don't know intimate about that you're a trans male and what's going on underneath your clothes? And, you know, like, when do you have that conversation? So it's, and, you know, I'm always at, like, get it out early and have that conversation, or I just, you know, put that up front, but that, because I'm safe enough to do that, but not everyone's in a safe environment. And, you know, it is scary to think about if I do engage in interest and start talking to someone and I tell them and they are upset by that, then what happens after, you know, do they tell other people in my life that don't know I'm trans? Do they, you know, get someone to come after me? Do they come after, I mean, it's just, it's scary for a lot of us. You know, for myself, I you know, I've realized that the dating pool for trans men, and I'm sure this is true for trans females, is that the dating pool is a lot smaller now. You know, like, I don't know. And then even if, you know, I was interested in men, then there would have to be this conversation about, like, you know, about that too. Like, again, you know, it's just, I have to talk a lot about, share a lot about my body early in a relationship that people necessarily don't do, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's very true. And a lot of that is comes down to those like safety concerns about, you know, not wanting to drag it on for too long for fear of somebody like having a super negative reaction, because it does seem that the more invested somebody is in potentially dating you or picking you up or what have you, then the more upset they are when they find out.
Well, yeah, because you've been lying to them. And it's like, you haven't told me everything about your life. So if I find out something new, do I then call you a liar? You know? Yeah. And it's like, why do I have to share such intimate details about my body if you haven't shared such intimate details? Or after I share that, you don't share in return. You know, why is it my job to have to be that open and honest when we're just talking? You know, and we're not being physical and things aren't getting physical right this moment. And, but I will say though, that once you find someone who accepts you for who you are, just because, you know, it's a beautiful thing and it can be a very beautiful, relationship and, you know, sexual experiences. But even, you know, I think also transitioning has opened my mind to possibilities of attraction to, you know, other people and gender identities as well. I think, you know, going through this process, I just see the beauty in a lot of people and I'm attracted to a lot of people now. You know, I still more attracted to, you know, female identity, but, or femininity, you know, romantically and sexually. But there's also this part of me that's like, you know, I'm also attracted to masculinity too. And so, you know, I think that's also allowed, as I've transitioned and accepted who I am in this process, has allowed me to explore more in my sexual orientation identity as well. And I think that's where I think a lot of trans people do get to, is like, okay, well, I finally explored and figured out who I am in this piece of self. And now I can do that with another piece of self. And again, not everyone changes. Not everyone changes who they're attracted to. But there, I think there's a. I mean, I know a lot of cases of people who have changed who they see and who they want to pursue for intimacy, whether it's romantic or, you know, just sexually intimacy too.
I feel like there's a lot of parallels in things from like your experience to mine, but also from like some slightly different perspectives. Cause when I first started questioning my sexuality, I identified as bisexual. And then later on in college, when I learned about pansexuality, I was like, oh, well that sounds more like something that I would align with, just because it has more openness. Especially at that time before we had this movement that's been coming up of people wanting to keep the bisexual label, but redefining it as to attracted to my same gender and also anything that's not my gender, mm-hmm. which initially was what pansexual was for, because initially bisexual was very binary. Even around that time in like high school, my presentation was constantly in flux. Most of the time it was very neutral. It was just like jeans and a t-shirt, nothing else. And then occasionally I would have these spurts of like attempts at femininity, but they wouldn't stick. Mm-hmm. But in being that, like, right in that neutral ground of just, like, jeans and a t-shirt, it doesn't throw any specific signage of, like, you know, I am straight or I am a lesbian. And so I would get people from, like, both sides of the court that would approach me. Because, again, I wasn't walking around with any of those, like, really big tells of, like, this person is into this. And that continued infinitely. Still continues to this day, but it's just because I'm lazy. It's just the cut of the t-shirts and the jeans changed over time. So because of that, I came across more as, like, I guess a chapstick lesbian, if anything. And that kind of, like, tomboyishness, that particular flavor of tomboyishness is one of those that a lot of straight men see and go, like, ooh, she's cute and she's a little bit different, but not quite so different that it makes me uncomfortable about my own gender and sexuality. Yeah. And so I would have, and it was one of those things where it's like, you know, there is that more comfort of being able to, like, not having to worry about potentially intimidating on accident. I did have a lot of privilege in the fact that I could just, like, float between both spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I would have those conversations with the straight guys. It'd be like, oh, I love dating you because you're just like one of the guys. Little did they know.
right.
But I would get comments from some cis females that I would, like, be with or be friends with or bed or what have you, that would make those comments of, like, you're such a man. And it was, like, intended almost as, like, a jab or, like, a half insult. But it was one of those things where it's like there was that very, like, strictly divided line of, this is how you court women. This is how you court and get courted by more femme women and more butch women. And then this is how you get courted by straight men.
Right.
Because you don't court the straight men. You get courted by the straight men.
Right.
Like, it's two very different worlds. There was some very few exceptions where I would do the courting and I would be the one making the moves. But yeah, a lot of the guys that I would end up with would be the ones that would be like, I'm the man, I'm the manly man.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's interesting as you are talking about that. I think about my experiences as, you know, being male now that I'm not used to being or put in that position of being the assertive one. Like, I'm not assertive by nature, as you probably are aware. You know, I'm very sensitive, and it's also part of, you know, my profession about being very empathetic and, you know, about feelings. And, you know, again, I'm more about making emotional connections before I want to even talk about intimacy, and, you know, I want friendship intimacy before, you know, those kinds of things. And that's not, you know, and then being seen as male in relationship, like, and trying to step out of that comfort zone that I'm used to being of just talking to someone and getting to know them, to, you know, having pickup lines and things like that, that's way outside my nature. That's not who I am. And I feel like it's so fake that, you know, I'm also the person where people are like, oh, that person was flirting with you. And I'm like, no, they're just being nice. And I was being nice back. And they're like, no, that was flirting. And I'm like, no, but, you know, so, like, I'm one of those individuals. And so, you know, as a male, like, it's very hard to switch that after being in a different situation where it was okay to just talk to people, to talk to people and get to know people and things like that, you know. And so what usually ends up happening in my life is that, well, more recently, is that, you know, I end up being with people who are more assertive, you know, like females that are assertive females. And, you know, And typically that's who ends up catching me as a sort of female, even as a lesbian, because I'm not the one to go and make a pickup line and try to get you, you know, I might do subtle things to get your attention, but I'm, you know, most likely I don't know that someone's into me until they say, hey, I like you, do you like me back? And it's, you know, that kind of situation. So, I mean, I've been lucky in the relationships that I have, and, you know, that that I've had more sort of females chase after me. But, you know, I don't foresee myself being this male at the bar going to, you know, picking up some girl I don't even know. Like, that's just not, that's way outside. But I know that's how men, you know, a lot of cisgender males do it, you know.
Unfortunately, yeah. And, like, honestly, definitely don't beat yourself up about not being the pickup line artist, because they're kind of cringy 99 times out of 100.
I'm just trying to give an example, but, like, yeah, I'm just not the one that's going to, you know, ask the first on the first date. Like, I'm not, because I'm not going to be aware that you're into me until you tell me. So I might suggest, like, hey, why don't you come over and let's watch a movie or something like that, or, you know, let's go get a bite to eat or something, but I'm not the one that, like, let's go on a date. Like, I'm not going to call it that. Like, I'm, you know, so I think that for me has changed, but in a sense. But I, you know, even as when I identified as a lesbian, I wasn't the assertive one. And even, you know, now I know I'm the emotional one when I'm in relationship, you know, that I am. I typically, it's funny that, you know, the females that I typically date act more masculine than I do in their, like, everyday, like, navigation of the world. But, like, I present more masculine. Like, but emotionally, you know, I'm, like, I'm the first one that's going to cry. I'm the first one that's going to, you know, but I'm also the first one that gets angry or whatever, because I'm just, you know, I express my emotions when I feel them. And so, yeah, so, but I've learned to love that part of myself that, you know, and I think it's nice when you're in relationship that you have a little bit of union, you know, that it's not just 100%, like, I have to be male all the time because I transitioned. What I find really beautiful in relationships is that, you know, if I'm truly being authentic to who I am, then I'm not going to do something in my dating life, you know, in my relational life that's outside of who I am. And I've worked really hard to become who I am and to be authentic. And so, you know, I think too, it also takes a special female in my life. But again, like, I know I'm talking very feminine, you know, be with females, but again, it would take a special, that'd take a special guy too, for me. I mean, they would have to understand sensitivity. But I was also thinking when you're talking about spaces, like, what I found too is, like, because I am more feminine than traditional cisgender males are supposed to be in our society, you know, and I'm okay with my hand gestures and, you know, me expressing more sensitive emotions or whatever. But I have noticed I get picked up by more gay males now. And that's also, it's not, you know, I didn't think I would get that, but, like, it's a nice surprise of, you know, like, I can recall, you know, the most recent one was in a grocery store, and, you know, I was checking out, and I knew they were flirting because they were forward about it, but, so, I mean, that's, I don't know, that makes me feel good, too, because, one, I'm passing as, you know, male, and so, you know, gay men are attracted to how I'm identifying too. So I don't know. I think it opens up a lot more dating in other ways if you're open to it. But again, you know, and if you're not open to it, it's not a bad thing either. But, you know, I just noticed that the shift, you know, has changed from, and I didn't really get a lot of straight males that were interested. They're more interested in, you know, like the threesome scenario, which I was like, you know, again, just that sexualizing of being queer or lesbian in our society, and, you know, being like, no, you know, F off, dude, like, yeah, that's not going to happen with me. So, but yeah, so, I mean, I just think I don't know. It is harder once you transition, in my case, but and learning new ways to be in relationship or at least pursue relationship.
Oh, yeah. And it's because a lot of the dating language does change a lot. And if you I do consider that one of the weird things I consider to be lucky is because I've had as much experience as I've had with being courted by straight men, I've learned kind of more intimately what they do, how they go about it, what worked for me and what did not work for me, and what I wish that they would have done but didn't do. And then I can then take that and apply it to courting other people, because then it's like I get to think about it in the sense of what do I wish I had experienced when I presented female from straight men and didn't get.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, see, I didn't have that much experience with, you know, dating men. And
And there is that thing where it's like women who consider themselves to be straight tend to have different expectations from their partner versus women who consider themselves to be lesbian, mm-hmm. or women who consider themselves to be bi.
And I will say that is I've never dated a straight woman that identified 100% straight and then I pursued that relationship. That's never happened. So I've always been with individuals who either identify, like you said, as bi or pan or, lesbian. And so,
The expectations are different. Like my forays in the lesbian dating world being in the sense of me dating people who specifically identified as lesbian, as opposed to bi or straight. There was a lot more gray area as far as like what expectations were. Like I could potentially have two different dates with the exact same person. And in one of them, she would show up at my front door with flowers. And on the next one, I'd show up at her front door with flowers. And it was totally acceptable either way. There wasn't this like, it's my job to do blah, 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 because I'm the man. I wear the pants in this relationship, which unfortunately is the type of thing that I've had ex-boyfriends pull. But it is one of those things of like, there's when both people identify as the same gender or approximations, there's no gender-based expectations.
Well, and yeah, I think that, you know, you're right. There wasn't so much gender role kind of stuff, even though I have seen lesbians try to play into societal gender roles that have been placed on heterosexuals within the lesbian community. And I always say we can break those. That's what's the beauty about being with, you know, two females, is that you can break all those gender roles and, you know, one doesn't have to wear, quote unquote, the pants in the relationship, or both can wear the pants in the relationship, or, you know, I think that's the beauty of being with, you know, the same sex, is that there is this, like, you don't have to play into this heterosexual gender roles unless y'all want to. And, you know, or you can really play to each other's strengths. Like, I like giving flowers. It doesn't matter if I'm the more masculine or feminine one. I just like to give you flowers. Like, that's something that makes me happy and it makes you happy, whatever. But I do see that, like, you know, healthy relationships, even with, you know, some, like, dating a trans person is, again, not forcing heterosexual, like, stereotype for relationship, that really playing on each other's strengths. And even though I might be male presenting, doesn't mean that I don't want flowers too, you know, like, or that I don't want to have, like, I'm having a day where I'm feeling more emotional and sensitive and, you know, I need more of a caring touch today. Or vice versa. Maybe you're having where you need me to be more assertive today, and I can do that too. Like, I'm not saying I'm just this very sensitive dude all the time, but you know, I can be assertive when it's important and when my partner is needing different or whatever. And I don't mind stepping in different roles as the relationship needs, just like in a healthy relationship, partners stepping in different roles that I need. But I like that, you know, I think once in a healthy, when I'm in a healthy relationship, I'm able to be, I don't feel ashamed of showing different sides of myself that are outside of what society says is appropriate for a male. And so, and, you know, I think what's really, you know, my hope is that I continue to have healthy relationships that, you know, allow me to be who I am, even in my friendships, that, you know, I can be who I am in the moment, and it's okay. And that even though it might be outside of a stereotype for that, for masculinity, that, you know, I don't know, that I'm in healthy spaces that allow me to be what I, you know, who and what I need to be that day. And just because I'm male doesn't mean that I want to be 100% male in everything I do either. So, and I think that's the misconception about trans guys, at least, is that we want to be seen as men 100% of the time in every single situation. And, you know, I don't know.
Whereas the reality is, like, you know, sometimes I'm Butch and sometimes I'm Baby. Like,
sometimes I'm Dom and sometimes I'm Sub.
Yep. You got to have that little bit of flexibility there. Like, yeah.
But, you know, straight women should be flocking to trans men who want straight women because, like, I mean, we're like the perfect of, like, we're sensitive and caring and understanding of, you know, what it's like to be a woman and what it's like to go through that time of the month and cycle and all that and the emotional process that happens with being, you know, female and, you know,
And we don't have, like, the weird, they don't have to educate us about how their bodies work, which.
And, you know, yeah, which is a, you know, some men take that as a very awkward conversation and don't even want to hear it, you know, but, you know, being able to be sensitive to that and understanding of that. And also that's just natural. And we're understanding of what that's not only that we're understanding of what that, you know, of, you know, cycles and stuff like that, but we also know what it feels like to go through that. And, you know, and
then try to undermine it.
There's a lot of benefits, you know, I'm just saying, ladies, there's a lot of benefits in dating, you know, trans men. So, or gentlemen, you know, there's a lot of benefits, or, you know, any identity that you have, there's a lot of benefits to dating.
Like this episode? Tell someone about it. Have any questions or concerns, please feel free to send an email to transfieldguide@gmail.com. Also be sure to subscribe to keep up with the latest episodes. Stay safe, and remember, I'm proud of you.